Our reading this morning is Ephesians 1, 4 to 8a. God chose us to belong to Christ before the world was created. He chose us to be holy and without blame in his eyes. He loved us, so he decided long ago to adopt us. He adopted us as his children with all the rights children have. He did it because of what Jesus Christ has done. It pleased God to do it. All those things bring praise to his glorious grace. God freely gave us his grace because of the ones he loves. We have been redeemed because of what Christ has done. Because he bled and died, our sins have been forgiven. We have been set free because of God's grace is so rich. And may he add his blessing to this reading.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to move things around here to get situated a little better. I think everybody here knows, but in case you don't, Emily and I were recently married. It was a fantastic day, and after our wedding and our honeymoon, we sat down and we planned the next few steps of life together. And at the top of the list was just a few things that we needed to kind of make my apartment, because she moved in with me after we got married, my apartment, our home together. People have been really generous at our wedding, and we took a few dollars and kind of set out to purchase a few things. So we sat down, and Emily began writing some of the things that we would need. She writes out curtains. We need those, few pillows, duvet, two duvet covers, sheets. And, the list goes on of things that we need, or at least I'm told that we need these. So I said, we need those, okay. I'm learning. And so for most of this, I'm nodding, and I'm going, okay, that sounds great. No problem. And but I look at the piece of paper that she's writing on it. I'm like, what is that? Is that it's a duvet? What is that? I'm serious. This is true. It's not a joke. And she looks at me and she says, well, that says duvet. I go, oh, okay. What's a duvet? I says, well, yeah, it's a duvet. It's for the bed, you know. Oh, okay. No, I don't know. What's a duvet? And she's like, it's the blanket that, that goes on top of the bed that, keeps you warm at night. And I go, oh, a comforter. Oh, okay. Yeah. We can get some of those. And at this point, she's like, really? Like, this is the guy that I married. Oh, wow. And so the conversation goes back and forth because I'm just not getting it. And I'm thinking she's just all kinds of odd and man, not making sense. And she's like, this is the guy I married. Like, wow, like Neanderthal. Like, I have no idea what any of this stuff is. But after that, our apartment looks lovely. There's lots of color. But more importantly, the lesson I learned from that is as a married man, there's words that I'm going to need to incorporate into my vocabulary. There's things that I'm going to need to know what they are, like duvets. If communication, if this is going to work, that was my lesson. So keeping that in mind, it was great that we were talking about scripture because our students this year are on a Bible reading plan to get through the New Testament, starting in September all the way to June. We've kind of given them a little bit of a challenge and some reward for that. And some of them are doing really well. I think in the first month and a bit, one student just went all right through the Gospels, and they're already done, and they're just kind of chewing through the rest of the New Testament, which is fantastic. And for the students who are doing that, for the rest of us who are reading our Bibles, if you're going to be a New Testament reader, there's going to be some words that you need to incorporate into your vocabulary. And you've probably seen a lot of these words before. They've been up on the screen. You've heard them at church. But if I asked you, what does the word redemption mean? Some of you would probably know, and some of you might give an answer that I gave about duvets. Like, I don't know what that really means, but I'm just going to sit here and kind of nod. I'd be like, yes, dear. Yes. That's okay. We know those things, right? Redemption is not a word that you probably ever will use this week in your vocabulary, right? It's not a word that we use anymore. As a single guy, I did not use the word duvets. I had no need for that word at all. As a married man, apparently I do. If you're going to be a New Testament reader, there's a few words that you need to learn because they matter as you read the Bible. And that one that we're going to talk about today is the word redemption. And so back in the days of the Roman Empire and the New Testament, that word was associated with slavery. You know, back in those days, they didn't have what we have today of employment insurance, right? So if you remember back to maybe when you got your first paycheck, you know, some of our students got their very first job, right? And you think, I'm going to be rich. I've got all this money coming in and everything. And then you open up that paycheck and you're like, where'd all my money go? What is federal tax and CPP and EI? Who's taking all my money? What's going on? That line that says EI, it's employment insurance. So if you lose your job, you can have a little bit of a small income to take care of you until you find the next one. They didn't have that back then. They didn't have employment insurance. So if you lost your job and you had debts, or you had bills and you had no way to pay them, you sold yourself into slavery to pay your bills. That was a reality. That was what you did. You lost your freedom, and you would have to work as a slave until you paid off that debt, and that could be years. Or maybe if you had a family member or a friend who had a little bit of money, they could put that together and they would redeem you out of slavery. And they'd actually take that money, they'd go to a temple and they give it to a priest there, and the priest would actually buy you from your master. And then technically you'd be free, sort of, but you'd actually be property. You belong to that temple. You'd belong to that god. And so there's every year you'd be expected to kind of come back and give an offering or some sort of gift, just as a reminder that you've been freed because of this deity. And there's actually, we've got contracts, and one of the contracts goes like this: Apollo, that's a Greek god, bought from Sosibus for freedom a female slave whose name is Nicaea, by race a Roman, she's a Roman, the price of 3.5 pieces of silver, the price he received. The purchase, however, Nicaea, that's the slave, is committed unto Apollo for freedom. And that last part sounds very similar to some of our New Testament. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. If we can have our scripture back up, that last part, Ben, that would be great. We have been redeemed because of what Christ has done, because he bled and died. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been set free because God's grace is so rich. It's language of freeing slaves, and they got that back then. That was a word they used. We don't really use it today, but that made sense to them. You have been redeemed and set free. And we all learn very differently. Some of you, you know, not big fans of history lessons, and I know that some of you not big fans of words and definitions, and you do much better with things like stories. I know our youth ministry does. Students love stories and learn via stories. So think for a moment about the story of Moses and the Exodus. There's lots of movies that have been made about that. You know, the old Charlton Heston one, and, like, you know, the Prince of Egypt, the animated Disney one. There's lots of movies that have been made about. Think about those images and the story and the picture and Moses and the Red Sea and the plagues and all of that great stuff. Think about that. And now hear these words. Moses, tell the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will throw off the heavy load the Egyptians have put on your shoulders. I will set you free from being slaves to them. I will reach out my arm and redeem you with mighty acts when I judge Egypt. Redemption is a word for God buying us out of slavery and setting us free. That's what it means. And now we can be honest and we can sort of say to ourselves, you know, how important is it that I really, you know, I know this word, but like, why does it really matter? You know, there's not going to be a test at the gates of heaven to let you in, you know, if you do or don't know some of these words in the New Testament. And if you're thinking that, that's fair. Hold on for that. That's a fair question. Hold on to that thought. Right now, shifting gears a little bit, right now, down in the States, we are in there's last couple weeks before the big election, right? And we in Canada have been following that quite a bit. And regardless of whether you're a liberal or conservative, that's fine. This is not a statement on politics or who you might vote for. We can probably agree as Canadians, however, that when we see Donald Trump, we see a guy that's probably a little insane. He's probably a bit of a bag of crazy. Right? And again, it's not about politics, where you might vote. There's nothing to do with that. But, you know, if you heard those audio tapes that came out a couple weeks ago, you know that, you know, things that he had to say about women, that he is a very polluted and a very immoral man. And as Canadians, a lot of us have sort of looked down at the United States and thought, like, how is it that so many of you have just given this guy a pass? And all of the things that he has done and all of the things that he has said. How is it okay that it's just somehow all right? Like we're going to ignore all of that stuff. How does that work? Like, can't you see that? Like, we see that. We see that so clearly here, it seems, but you don't, and you're blind to it. And when I was in Peterborough, different story. When I was in Peterborough, I was a youth pastor there. I had a group of 13-year-old girls who I was a youth pastor to. They were in our youth ministry, and they lived in a really rough part of downtown. Really rough part of downtown. Dad, for all of them, had left a long time ago. Not sure if he was really ever in the picture. And that place where parental love and time is supposed to fill was very, very void for them. And there are many times those students would text and meet up much older boys doing things that no 13-year-old has business doing. And yeah, I'm talking about what you think I'm talking about. And I can still remember conversations with one of the girls that I said about the texts and the pictures that were going back and forth, and like begging her like not to do this stuff, like we will run more youth programs at the church. Like, I will take you all out for movies on Friday night, whatever. Just like, you don't need to be out late doing these things. But she thought it was funny. She thought it was fun. I remember saying to me, she's like, as long as I'm home by 10 p.m., my mom doesn't care. She couldn't see what she was doing to herself. She couldn't see what she was doing to her life. But we can see both those stories. You know, when you hear a guy like Donald Trump talk, you might say, thank goodness I live in Canada. You hear the story about the 13-year-old girls, and you got kids, like, you're gonna know where your kids are tonight at 10 o'clock. Like, all the parents are gonna, where I'm gonna know where my kids are at 10 o'clock at night. They're not gonna be out anywhere. You can see what's wrong with that. Redemption matters not because there's a quiz at heaven's gate that you need to kind of get in. It matters for now. It matters for today. Because when God sees the world, when God describes how he sees the world, he doesn't describe it in terms of like a life coach. Like, I'm here to get you on track because you're a little bit off track and I'm going to put you on the right track. He doesn't describe it like he's like some sort of your gym buddy who's there just kind of coaching you along. And if you just work harder and push more and one more rep, like, you're going to do it and you're going to be free. He doesn't describe our world like that. He describes it that we are a bunch of slaves that need redemption and freeing. And that can be hard for us to see. It's so much easier to see the failings of others, for whatever reason, it's hard for us to see as middle-class, successful individuals to see what our own lives have become trapped and ensnared by sin. God sees it, and we can see it in others, but it's difficult for us to see it in our own lives. A couple months before I got married, I did something that was, I don't know if that's a good idea, but I'm gonna give it a shot. It's not a bad thing. It's not like one of those things where, like, well, what's he gonna do? Say, wasn't a bad thing. I asked Emily. I it was advice I got ages ago. I asked Emily, I was like, Emily, as a man, as your future husband, what do you pray for me for? Not like, you know, that I'll get promoted, or like, you know, lose weight, or like you know, one of those like things that like it's on like a to-do list in our lives. What do you pray for me as a man and as your future spouse? And it was a terrifying question to ask, because like, what are you gonna say, right? What are you gonna bring up? One of the joys and there's things that strikes you about being as married is that you have someone there who, if you can't see your faults, they can, right? They're your spouse is very aware of the things that you don't get right, and they can be a wonderful sounding board for the places in your life that you need redemption, that you need to call out to God because you need freedom, right? And when we take steps as Christians, sometimes they can be incredibly difficult. If you're young in age or young in faith, like your first few steps of trusting God are just, man, they are difficult. Man, they can be incredibly challenging. I remember the first time I had to do it, I was 18. I've been a Christian for like 6 months, and God told me to break up with my girlfriend, who is the only connection I had to this incredible group of friends. I was terrified that my life was going to be over as I knew it. And it was a scary, scary step. And life has gotten better since then, and faith for me has gotten deeper. But like, there are still moments when I come to decisions, come to these challenges in life, and I have to, for me, I have to see it, and I have to go, okay, when I hit this next challenge of faith or this moment where I can doubt, this is how I'm going to handle it. I have to mentally prepare myself. Like, I'm going to get ready to tackle it like this, and I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to move forward. And it's gotten easier the more I've done it. Bit by bit, it's gotten a lot easier. And maybe that's because, you know, of how I grew up, and I just sort of always kind of being the kind of guy that wanted to take care of himself. I'm not entirely sure, but as we are, if we are redeemed people, then step by step, our faith should grow as we trust God a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And so as an individual, as a family, it might be a good idea if like that next challenge that's coming up on the horizon, how are we going to handle that as a redeemed people? We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from all the things that cling on to us and draw us towards just awful stuff. How are we going to do that together as a family? And that's the only way that I've been able to conquer those things, is to be able to look at them and say, I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to handle this situation like this. And as redeemed people, it's the one challenge we're going to face is that we all want to become the heroes of our own story, right? Right, that's the, I don't want to leave the sermon on that. If you just work really hard, like, you can pull yourself up from the pit of slavery and sin. Not at all. This is something where we need to rely on God to do, because only God does this. We don't do this. We submit ourselves to the Lord as redeemed people, as redeemed families. We set our lives before Him. How are you going to help us overcome this next obstacle? How are you going to help us deepen our faith step by step? And if you're young in years, or you're young in faith, those first couple steps can be rough, and it can feel like this is going to be like the end of the world if this goes wrong. But day by day, decision by decision, it gets a little bit easier. As redeemed people, our faith should grow in time. It should grow in depth, and it should make a difference in our world and the world of our families. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks that you are honest with us about when you look at the world, that you see people who are the wonderful and you care about are caught in a pit, and that you are here to pull us out, that you are here to redeem us out of the bondage of sin and slavery. And if we are young and we have never really trusted or taken a step of faith before, that first one, that's gonna be difficult. That's gonna be hard. We ask that you would strengthen us, and that every step after us, you would encourage us and show us that it can get easier and easier because you have a track record of being true. You have a track record of pulling us out of the pit. God, we pray that we don't write ourselves as the heroes of our own story. You're the hero of our story. You're the hero of the world. You're the hero of the Bible. Be our hero today and pull us out of that pit. Redeem us as people, as families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.